This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. We're turning our attention to a piece of news that has been, of course, this is a bit of a long-standing issue, but recently the Finance Ministry announced that the government has agreed to improve the overall management and operations of Lembaga Tabung Haji, which involved a proposed new model and a review of Act 535.
So with that, the government has decided to place Lembaga under the purview of Bank Negara Malaysia, and the Finance Ministry has come out to assure that this is only an interim solution until the findings of the Royal Commission of Inquiry, RCI, are presented to the government for further action. I think the purpose of this RCI is to review TH's audit findings by consultants from 2014 to 2018, as well as the recovery measures undertaken by the Pilgrims Funds until 2020.
Now, for more on this, we have on the line with us this morning economist Dr. Nungsari Ahmad Radi to give us his thoughts on this announcement. Good morning, Dr. Nung. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now, could you talk to us about the significance of placing Tabung Haji under Bank Negara's supervision? Is this a positive step, and why might it be happening now?
I think it's a good thing. It would have happened a couple of years ago, I think, under the PH government, 2018, when it took over and revamped the board and cleaned up the accounts, they would have actually proceeded to put Tabung Haji under a better regulatory framework. You have to understand that Tabung Haji is quite sizable. The fund is almost 80 billion ringgit and over 9 million depositors. So this is a significant amount of money that involves a lot of people. And Bank Negara in 2013 actually replaced their old act with something called the Financial Services Act that empowers them to look at the overall stability of the financial sector. And given that Tabung Haji is an 80 billion entity that collects money from the 9 million depositors that have actually gone through an impairment of about 10 billion in 2018, it is timely to do this.
So what are the main issues at Tabung Haji, especially since this is not the first time the government is revamping the institution?
I think the 10 billion ringgit provision captures the issues that have been going on at Tabung Haji for a while, I think almost since its existence. And I think since a new act was actually put in place in 1995. So the 10 billion came about from years and years of weak oversight, weak governance, because up to now, the only oversight that's there is oversight on TH is actually from the minister in the Prime Minister's office in charge of whatever religious affairs. The minister's approval is required in all decisions made by the Lembaga, whether it is the appointment of CEOs, whether it is investment decision, establishing subsidiaries to borrow, and so on. So over the years, these weaknesses and of all sorts in governance and also in behavior have culminated in the 10 billion impairment. I think from a Bank Negara perspective, a 10 billion ringgit impairment and an 80 billion public funds, which can be invested in many in the equity market, in the capital markets, does actually call for them to come in and actually regulate some part of it.
There's been some comments that Tabung Haji is not a bank and should not come under the central bank. Do these views make any sense to you?
Well, I think under the Financial Services Act that Bank Negara operates under now, actually give them wide powers to ensure the stability of the financial system. And when you are 80 billion ringgit, just on that fact alone, and that 80 billion ringgit is invested in other parts of the economy, in, like I said, you know, buying equities and also bonds, your well-being is actually certainly will affect the stability of the financial system. While it is not a bank, it is certainly a financial institution. The fact that it does harsh operations is a separate thing. But we're talking about the financial management. I think for too long, TH was allowed to be governed by a minister. For too long, they were allowed to put all kinds of people in there. Many people under Bank Negara, there would be some proper fit and proper person criteria. There will be governance in terms of liquidity, capital adequacy, performance of the funds, and so on.
Now, the Finance Ministry has clarified that this is only an interim solution until the findings of the RCI are completed. Would it be better, perhaps, then, if they had waited for the RCI to conclude with its findings and recommendations first?
I agree with the decision by the ministry, but I find it quite baffling that actually they are waffling on this a bit by saying that, oh, we'll put it under BNM and we'll wait for the outcome of the RCI. Now, what will the RCI find out that TH of the government or Ministry of Finance hasn't known about? So I think the decision to put under BNM is really the right decision, and they should be firm about it. And I think if the government wants to do an RCI, then they should look at the overall oversight and governance of institutions, statutory entities, whereby ministers in their capacity as ministers are given too much leeway, not even cabinet, to decide how monies are being spent and how monies are being invested. That sort of issue is worthy of an RCI. We don't need an RCI to find out what went wrong in TH. I think everybody knows what went wrong in TH.
Ideally, how should Tabung Haji be managed so that it can achieve its objectives?
It should be managed to fulfill and in compliance with all the regulatory requirements in terms of fit and proper people sitting on the boards, in terms of proper people managing it, proper separation of limits of authorities, fulfillment of all ratios and whatever risk management that should be in place. So those, I mean, should be managed like any financial institution that have, but in the case of Tabung Haji, it has the other arm that does hard management. But that in itself defines what sort of financial parameters it should be operating under in order to fulfill that side of things. So it should be governed professionally, it should be governed transparently, it should be regulated independently, not be regulated by a minister who is also the final decision maker for the entity.
Thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Dr. Nung. That was economist Dr. Nungsari Ahmad Raji giving us his thoughts on the announcement that Tabung Haji, Lembaga Tabung Haji, is going to be placed in the spotlight and going to be placed under Bank Negara until we've seen some kind of result from the RCI that is currently ongoing. I do concur with his final thoughts, though. Transparency, independence, good governance, clearly much, much needed in this space.
And this is not just something for Tabung Haji, right? When we talk about this, we're talking about GLIC management as well, government-linked investment companies, whether it's EPF or QAP or the Lembaga Tabung Angkatan Tentera or even EPF, right? Or Permodalan Nasional Berhad. These are all companies that have large stakes in Malaysia's capital markets that have large implications for many, many millions of members, right? 9 million members in Tabung Haji, 15 million members in EPF, BNB, I'm not even sure what the number is there, but these are all funds that hold billions of ringgits, or in terms of EPF, almost 1 trillion ringgit. But this, of course, I'm not sure with all the drawdowns what that number stands at. And GLICs control almost 42% of the entire Bursa Malaysia. So whatever they do has an impact on our capital markets as well.
Yeah,
leadership is so important.
Yeah, I think part of the revamp, Lembaga Tabung Haji obviously should be placed under Bank Negara, permanently, right? Mm-hmm. Because the central bank has the clout and the resources to do the necessary enforcement and regulation, and you shouldn't be placed under a ministry. But we know the reason why it's placed under a ministry or a minister is political. So it's not just the GLICs as well. There's also money lending licenses. Why on earth are they under the Ministry of Housing? Mm-hmm. It really just boggles the mind. That should come under Bank Negara.
Yes, certainly a lot of legacy issues here to be resolved. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.